Me, but also you. The Pharaoh fast forwards his favorite foreign film, Powder Donut. Okay, what's my line?
The only line I see here on the script is get options based on your budget with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive.
Oh man, that's a tongue twister, huh? I'm sorry, I'm gonna need a few more minutes. Bulbous Walrus, the Bulbous Walrus.
The Name Your Price tool, only from Progressive.
The owl ran afoul of the comatose coxswain.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome to Accelerate Your Business Growth with your host, Diane Helbig. Diane is a leading small business development and leadership coach, author, and speaker who is passionate about sharing valuable ideas, tips, and techniques with business professionals worldwide. Diane brings you the world's experts and gurus in all things business, whether it's sales, structure, social media, planning, or plateauing, guests bring their expertise and energy to each episode. When growing your business is your focus, Accelerate Your Business Growth is the show to listen to. Got a topic or guest suggestion? Let Diane know. The goal is to make sure you have the information you need to move your business forward. Thanks for joining us. Settle in and enjoy.
Hi, everybody. Thank you so much for joining us. Today's podcast is sponsored by Audible.com. Audible.com is a leading provider of spoken audio entertainment and information. Listen to audiobooks whenever and wherever you want. Get a free book when you sign up for a 30-day free trial at audibletrial.com/businessgrowth. Accelerate Your Business Growth podcast continues to gain recognition as a great resource for small business owners, entrepreneurs, and sales professionals. This is due mainly to the guests who come on and join me to have a conversation around their area of expertise. It always has to do something with business so that you can get the information that you need to be able to do better things in your business. Today we have such a guest. Today I am joined by Mona DeVestel. Mona is an award-winning author and former creative writing professor at SUNY. Mona's debut novel, One String Guitar, was a semi-finalist for VCU Cabell First Novelist Award. Her memoir, King Leopold's Daughter, was a finalist for Restless Books' New Immigrant Writing Prize. Mona's a writing coach and a ghostwriter. Her online program, How to Write Your Bestseller in 90 Days, helps entrepreneurs create passive income with their book. Thanks so much for joining me today, Mona.
Thank you so much, Diane, for having me on your podcast.
I am happy to have you on it. And remind me, toward the end, I want to make sure we let the listeners know how they can find your online program, because I think a lot of them are going to be interested in learning more about that. So let's
definitely
earmark that, and we'll circle back around. Help the listeners understand, if you would, why it's important for entrepreneurs to become authors and to actually have a book.
Well, there are many ways that having a book can really propel your business to the next level of success. One of the ways, of course, is basically having your expertise being acknowledged in the marketplace. Many of my clients come to me and they are already experts in their fields. They have sometimes decades of expertise under their belt. They've worked in their industry and are quite successful, but they don't yet have a book, which in some ways limits their scope in terms of their ability to reach a certain audience. So credibility is one of those ways. And also, there are many ways that having a book will leverage your expertise into what I call the quantum leap of reaching your next level of success, whether it's with your branding, reaching clients that you may not have been able to reach in the past, that happens a lot with clients who become authors. They suddenly open a door to another aspect of their sort of another alleyway into their industry. And of course, being able to impact the lives of their target audience, their clients, their existing clients, but on a massive scale. So it's really a win-win for anybody who decides to become an author.
So that some of that sounds like, so someone has expertise, they've had it for a long time, and then they become an author and they gain exposure out there in not only in their own industry, but you know, sort of out there in the ecosystem, that to other people, you know, elevates them in the eyes of people and helps other people see them as an expert. Is that?
That's exactly right, Diane. And it's not only from the sales of their book, and that's a point that I make in my webinars. I offer webinars for people through LinkedIn. And one of the ways that, you know, really the impact is made is that you're able to reach a new audience that is already peripherally connected to your industry. So for example, you may become you may be booked for speaking engagements. That's something that may have not happened in the past, or maybe you were giving some speaking engagements that, but they were not on the scale that you are able to offer with these with the fact that you now have a book. So that's something, that's one example. Once you become a speaker and you come to these speaking engagements with your book, not only are you able to sell the book through your audience, but the audience is open to your expertise and what perhaps it's an organization in your field. Or it's a, for example, the International Coaching Federation is a group, for example, an industry example, where it's a group of coaches that are, you know, all over the world. And so maybe you're being booked through one of those organizations in your field if you're a coach or a transformational leader. So that's what I'm talking about in terms of reaching another level of audience.
I see. So it really becomes expansive.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Absolutely. And also, I mean, there are many other ways to leverage your book. You know, when I tell people you can create passive income, a lot of times people say, oh, of course, I'm going to be selling copies of my book. And yes, that's obviously the goal, but it's also the impact that the book is going to make on your business. So I talked about a little bit about speaking engagements. There's also, you know, you might have a community of services, or maybe you have a community, a membership community through your platform or your website, where your clients can now become part of that community and you can offer them tips or information that straight from your book. A lot of times people will use the book as a curriculum base for example, events, live events that they might be doing. So there are many, many, many ways that you can really leverage your book.
Do you think that being an author applies for anybody in any industry, or do you think there are certain industries that lend themselves more to getting value out of being an author?
I really think that anybody in any industry can benefit from becoming an author. Of course, there are industries that lend themselves very easily into being an author. But, you know, I mentioned coaches or transformational leaders. That is an effortless sort of, it makes sense that you are already working so hard to transform the lives of your clients, whatever field or aspect it is. I mean, whether it's nutrition or divorce, whatever. And so, of course, having a book lends itself to that. But I have had clients in completely different industries, insurance. I've had clients in dentistry, I've had clients in nutrition, in health and well-being. So it really, honestly, any area will benefit from becoming an author. I mean, nowadays, it's sort of a given that someone who is an author by definition is a vetted expert in their field. And so not being an author is sort of, it's sort of a strike against you, as even if you have that expertise.
Yeah, that's interesting. And thanks for that. I tend to agree with you. I just know there are people listening thinking to themselves, well, in my industry, I don't have to be an author. So that was part of the reason why I asked the question.
Mm-hmm.
What are some of the mistakes that you see entrepreneurs make or business owners make when they're going through this process of writing a book?
Well, there are key mistakes that I've seen time and time again made by entrepreneurs who come to me, and these are very successful people. So it's certainly not a lack of knowledge or expertise, but it's simply not having an understanding of the impact that writing can have on their business. The very first mistake that entrepreneurs make is what I've seen is that they don't have a writing practice, or they're not scheduling the writing into their schedule, or, you know, they're saying, oh, well, I'm going to write when the inspiration strikes, or I will, you know, carve out a huge chunk of time, maybe during this 3-day break that I have, and then I'll get some work done there. And really what I found to be the most effective way to write a book quickly, efficiently, and smoothly is by carving out small chunks of time in your daily schedule. And a lot of times people will say, well, I don't have any time. I actually, you know, I'm already overloaded. I'm overbooked. And I say, well, I'm talking about 15 minutes, 15 right. minutes, 5 days a week. It's the consistency that is a pivotal element into the success. It's not the huge chunks of time, the 2 or 3 hours on that 3-day break that then will not be met with another session for another month or maybe two. It's those 15-minute increments 5 days a week over the course of 90 days. That in itself, if I, you know, when I talk to potential clients and I talk to people interested in becoming authors, I say, before you even invest a dime into anything, just give yourself this 15 minutes a day, 5 days a week. You set the timer on your phone and you start writing. That is massively revolutionary for people because they'll say, oh my gosh, I can't believe that this month I wrote 100 pages in those 15-minute increments. So that's the first thing. That's the first mistake. The second mistake is, you know, not having a clear sense of their audience or the people whose lives they want to impact. And of course, people say, oh, no, I know exactly. You know, I know my clients. I'm writing a book for my clients. And they'll cite, you know, some demographics like women in their 40s or, young entrepreneurs who are interested in launching a startup or something like that. And I'll say, yes, but I'm not talking about the demographics. I'm talking about having real live people, faces that you can actually, whose name you can put in front of you on your desk, pin it to your, whatever, your board or your monitor, and keep those people in mind, actual names of people, you know, your Uncle John who is trying to improve his health, your client Sally who, went into debt and is trying to get her way out of debt. So when you put real names, 3 to 5 names, I will say, you know, in front of you, and you keep those people in mind during your writing practice, during those 15-minute increments, your writing is going to take a new level of engagement because you're going to be writing to real humans, multidimensional humans, people who have real life problems and whose lives you're going to transform with your knowledge, with your expertise. And that is really, it makes it also more engaging for the writer, because you're passionate about your topic and now you know that you're impacting, you know, Sally or John. So that's another mistake. And then
that's huge.
Yeah, it really is. And this is something, you know, all of these things are things that I discovered myself as an author and as a writer. When I started doing that, the names of people, your writing becomes so intimate. It becomes so rich, because it's almost like you're talking to, you're writing an open letter, you know, to those people, and you want to transform their lives. It's not some conceptual thing of like, oh, I want to write this book and it's going to help these, you know, women in their 40s.
Yeah. Wow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So the third mistake is not having a structure for the book that is been vetted by researchers and, you know, seasoned authors that works time and time again. So I have come up with a structure that I use both for fiction, so novels, for example, or nonfiction, you know, how to self-help, business books. This structure works across both types of books. It's been studied by experts in narrative, who have studied the structures of narrative across cultures to see like what makes certain stories resonate with millions of people while others do not. And they found that these structures work time and are in place time and time again. And I've sort of put it to the test. I took some New York Times bestsellers. For example, Malcolm Gladwell's book, Blink, which is a fantastic book. I'm sure you know about Malcolm Gladwell. He wrote a book, you know, stating that we basically assess a situation, a person, a situation within, you know, 1 to 3 seconds. And we have instinctual knowledge about a situation, could be about a painting, knowing instinctively that painting is not real, and not knowing why, you know, that it's not real. It's been, you know, proven with data that was correct. You know, 75% of the time it was absolutely correct. Or having a sense, a sixth sense, that this person is not trustworthy as you shake their hand. You know, how do you know that? You know, how could you possibly, you've just met that person. So it's a fascinating book. I looked at his book. I looked at the structure, and sure enough, it follows that structure. I looked at other books, Louise Hay's book, You Can Heal Your Life. I think I'm butchering her title, but it's close. And that is something that has worked time and time again. So not having a structure, a lot of times people come to me and they say, I have 200 or 300 pages already. I just don't know. It doesn't flow. And I say, well, let's get this in the structure. Let's use what, you know, I call the skeleton. Let's use the skeleton to hinge all of your narrative onto it. And it will be propelled into a different stratosphere of engagement with the readers. And then the last mistake, really, and that's the biggest one, is not having a clear vision of what we talked about, which is how do you want to leverage this book? What is it that you want this book to accomplish, not only for your readers, but for yourself and for your business? So having a map and saying, okay, I want this book to allow me to land speaking engagements, or I want this book to give me more credibility, or to allow me to really expand my brand into this different niche of clients, or, you know, all the things that I've mentioned about the membership communities, or figuring out ways to create live events and maybe use that book as a curriculum for those live events. And, you know, having whether it's the 300 people attending your live event to, you know, commit to purchasing the book ahead of time so that you can cover some of those key points covered in the book during the live event. So having that map, having a clear map, will really impact your you know, the way that you approach it, and it really make you successful as an author.
I think that's got to be the biggest thing that they miss, because they're so busy writing the book that they don't stop and think really clearly about, and then this is what I'm going to do with the book.
Right.
Once it's published, or while it's at the publisher, you know, whatever that process is.
Yeah. And it's really, you know, I equate it to putting an address in your GPS. I mean, you know where you want to go. If you don't put that address in, you might wander along the way and decide that you're going to stop here and there. Whereas if you have that clear vision of the finish line, you're going to carve your book out in a certain way. Your intention is clear and your process is going to be informed by that intention or by that destination into the purpose of your book. And that's really going to make it, you know, it's going to make a world of difference for how clear your book is going to be.
Yeah, that makes complete sense to me. All right, I'm going to take a quick sponsor break and then I have some more questions for you.
Okay.
Accelerate Your Business Growth podcast is happy to be sponsored by Audible.com. Audible.com is a leading provider of spoken digital audio entertainment and information. They have over 150,000 titles to choose from, and you can listen to them on any device, including whatever you're hearing us on right now. And if you sign up at our link, which is audibletrial.com/businessgrowth, you get one free audiobook and a one-month trial of the service. Some examples of books you can listen to on audible.com are Transform Your Company by Alex Vorobieff and The Irresistible Consultant's Guide to Winning Clients by David A. Fields. So visit audibletrial.com/businessgrowth, explore the books that are of interest to you, and receive one free audiobook when you sign up for the trial. Today we're speaking with Mona DeVestel about the four mistakes entrepreneurs make when writing a book. Okay, so talk to me some about the power of narrative for, you know, not only individuals, but for businesses as well, if you would.
Yeah. Narrative is the single most powerful currency that we exchange during our interactions with each other or one another as humans. I mean, you know, I always bring it back to the smallest unit, which is when you meet someone, what do you do? You exchange narrative with that person. This is what we're doing right now. We're exchanging narrative. When you're on a date, you're exchanging narrative. And so narrative is the way in which that, you know, people connect with each other by co-creating a reality or a situation or, you know, an engagement. So narrative is an incredibly powerful element. If you have a clear intention with how you're going to craft your narrative as an entrepreneur, you can control the conversation and you can gauge and direct where the conversation is going to go for your clients, for your potential clients, for people interested in your services. And that's really important. You know, nowadays everybody has a platform. Of course, if you don't, you're developing one. People are working and spending quite a bit of money on how to develop their platform, how to grow their platform. The platform is centered around narrative. And so what I say to people, you know, becoming an author is exponentially powerful for your business. It means that what you're doing is you're shaping the narrative of your platform and really centering it around that authorship of yours. It becomes a really a way of leveraging what you have already created. So if you have a platform and if you create a book and you become an author, that book obviously lives on that platform and informs the narrative for your clients. Does that make sense? I'm not sure if you're following.
It does. It does. As you're talking about it, I'm thinking about what you were saying about being able to picture who you're writing to. You know, picture who you're talking to. And I'm imagining that when you have those actual people in mind, it's easier to create the narrative because you're actually talking to actual humans.
Right, Right. And that's exactly right, Diane, because really there are two factors that come into play when it's when you're creating your narrative. One is your audience and two is your brand. And it's really the exchange between those two, the audience and your brand, that is linked by narrative. So if you think about having a clear sense of audience, having a clear sense of who you're talking to, that already, that one element, putting it into place will create a solid base for you to position your brand and create a dialogue between that brand and that audience. The way to create that dialogue is, of course, by creating the narrative of your book, the narrative of your authorship, the narrative of your brand and presence on your platform, how you want to be perceived in the marketplace. I mean, a coach, for example, is a very broad strokes container, but then what kind of coach? Even if we narrow it down to a transformational coach, people going through life transformations, that still doesn't tell me anything about your brand. Your brand is how you present yourself. The, you know, the voice, the tone, the language, the kind of storylines that you're putting into place. So that's really what we're talking about. We're talking about your narrative, your book, creating a dialogue between your audience and your brand.
All right. So this sounds like people have to have a pretty clear idea of what their brand is, which I find people struggle with a lot, because if I'm hearing you right, you want to make sure that whatever you're writing is in keeping with that brand because it enhances it.
Yes. I mean, as far as commenting on your point about people need to know exactly what their brand is, yes and no. I mean, brand is in place whether you control it or not. Think of yourself as a brand. When you walk into a room, whether you have put any attention or energy into how you dress, how you're presenting yourself, how you walk, how you talk, or not, people are going to perceive that no matter what. So brand is your presence. It's the qualities that are attached to you. If you become intentional about those qualities, then that gives you control over your brand. If you don't have clear intentions about those qualities, other people and entities will control your brand for you. So either way, you cannot avoid being perceived by the marketplace. In other words, you're going to be perceived by the marketplace no matter what. You might as well control and shape the conversation.
Yeah, that's great. That's really interesting.
Yeah.
Okay. So if someone's listening and they're, you know, it doesn't matter what industry they're in, but they're thinking, okay, I'm starting to get it. I can see the value in writing a book, but I don't know what I would write about. I mean, I've written a couple books and I try and, you know, keep it in my wheelhouse and write about things I really know and have expertise in. Is there like a rule of thumb, or is there, you know, a piece of advice you would give them for identifying what their first topic should be? Like, let's say they think they have expertise in a couple of different areas.
Yeah, I mean, there are really two types of books that you can write right off the bat. And I say types of books, meaning in different categories of presenting the book. One is, if you want to get your feet wet, write a short ebook. I call it an ebook because you would typically release it only as an ebook. Not going with print. Maybe it's a very short book, 40 pages. You use it as a lead generator. So think about the ways, topics right off the bat, like jot down topics that you would want to talk to your potential clients about, to sort of start the conversation, to get them thinking about, you know, what you would like to help them with. That would be those topics, those key points would be the topics of your ebook. Now, an ebook is not going to offer all the way, in-depth solutions. It's going to get the conversation started. Things that you want to give value to your readers. You want them to walk away feeling, wow, this is really helpful. But you want them to know more. You want them, to continue the conversation with you. So that's a good place to start. But if you're really ready, if you feel like, I don't want to do that, I want to write, quote unquote, a real book. And I say, quote, because an ebook is a real book, but a more substantial book, the industry standard of anywhere from 225 to 300 page book. Start with those four key topics that are in your wheelhouse, that are your bread and butter of what is working for you right now in your business. Who, if you had to kind of identify who 90% of your clients are, those are the people that you would be talking to. And identify the four key points that really, really, really are something that they come to you for, time and time again, one of those four things. And I would start there. And then, for your subsequent books, you can start branching out into peripheral topics that are a little bit more specific to a subcategory of clients or a subcategory of clients that you would like to reach and haven't quite reached yet. So that's where I would start. Is jot down those four key topics.
I like that. I like it a lot. And I really appreciate what you said about the ebook, because it really is a great way to get your feet wet, to get used to the whole concept of writing, and to be able to have something out there that pulls people toward you so that then you can get a better feel for what you're writing about, how you're writing, the information that you want to offer. Like, I know when I wrote my first book, a couple years later, I felt like the way that I talked about the subject had grown up somewhat. So it's time to write the next one on that. But I wouldn't have known that if I hadn't written it. And if I had felt like I'm not sure I'm quite there, or if I had thought, boy, this topic, there's so many people writing on, it makes no sense for me to write a book, I would have been wrong on both of those counts.
Mm-hmm. Right. That's exactly right. And one thing I want to say about ebooks, it's a great lead generator. You can offer that ebook for free on your platform or for a very low price, because it really starts the conversation going. And it opens doors for you in your business. Having a lead generator through your ebook is a very effective way of starting the conversation with new potential clients.
Yeah, I agree with that. And so one of the things that I really like about this is to think about this in terms of having conversations with people. I think value propositions of writing a book, that it gives you an opportunity to have a conversation with somebody who either a different conversation with a current connection or a new conversation with a whole new connection.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah. That is great. So what would you say is the most powerful element that a book offers to an entrepreneur, like the moment they become an author?
You mean the most powerful element for the entrepreneur themselves writing the book?
Yes.
It gives them a new level of engagement with their audience and with their potential clients and their existing clients. I've worked with people who, are actually very, very successful, who are, they're not necessarily trying to expand their business. I just finished a book with a client who's number one in his industry in the world. And so it's not like he's trying to be, he's number one in the world in his industry.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
But you know what that book has done for him is offered him a new level of engagement with his existing clients, giving them a facet of this very powerful, successful man that they didn't have before. and really opening almost like a new level of intimacy with those clients, which can only enhance your brand. You know, it gives you a sense of the man, the human, the person, the woman behind that powerhouse of the brand that you are. You know, you already are successful, or perhaps you are successful, but you want to be, you know, even more, you want to become number one in your industry. It gives that extra level of realness, of intimacy, of connection, of engagement. You know, so you're not just selling something, which nobody wants to be sold.
Right.
You know, people want to engage. They want to connect. They want to feel like you're here to help them through their challenges, their day-to-day struggles. Not just, you know, oh, I'm going to, you know, you're another lead generator.
Right.
You know? So it gives it that level of engagement. People are connecting to you as a human being.
Yeah, it's really great. Now, if people are listening and thinking to themselves, okay, this is all well and good and makes sense to me, except I'm not a writer. Can you talk some about what ghostwriting entails and the value of it?
Yeah, ghostwriting is a process where when I work with my clients, you know, we work one-on-one, I interview them, and I record, I sign a non-disclosure agreement, I record all the conversations that get transcribed, and then I begin to shape the material as I see emerge. Some people come to me with a very clear sense of their story and their topics. Some people don't, and they come and they start talking to me, and then we start, you know, sifting through the material and saying, you know what, here are the themes that are emerging, here are the topics that are emerging, here's what I sense in terms of structure. I carve out an outline, we go over it, and then I start drafting the book. It's a fantastic process for me because I really crawl inside the mind and the heart of another human being, and I just become that person for that duration. You know, I do sketches right off the bat. Initially, I call sketches to find the voice of the person. I say, do you know, does this sound like your book? Does this sound like your book? Because the tone and the voice is very important. You know, some people want to sound academic. Some people want to sound conversational. Yeah. Some people want to be warm and engaging and funny. They want me to capture their sense of humor. You know, and it goes with the language and the philosophy of that person. I remember one of my clients, I had written something and I sent it to him, and he said, he crossed out the word try. And he said, I'd never use that word. I don't believe in trying. I believe in doing. And it was such an elusive, you know, such a moment of clarity for me, because I was using language that was not his language. And yes, I had captured all the facts and all the, you know, but he said, that's not how I talk. I don't talk.
Right.
I'm a successful, you know, entrepreneur who sees myself as, you know, pull myself by my bootstraps kind of guy. And I don't try anything. I just get it done.
So, I think that's really great that he had that insight. I would imagine some people might know that it doesn't feel right, but can't really articulate why, you know, what it is about it that doesn't feel like their voice.
Mm-hmm. That's true. Sometimes they don't know, and so we then have to sort of decipher it and figure out what is it that, you know, is it the lens of the elements that the person is paying attention to in their narrative that's not quite reflecting their truth, or is it the way they're saying it? So we figure it out. It's a really fun process.
Sounds like it. Yeah. Well, that's so great, because then there are no barriers to entry for anyone to be able to get this done. Can you share with the listeners about your online program and let them know how they can find you?
Yeah, the online program is a 90-day program that allows people to write their books themselves. And the reason that I created that program is because I really wanted to reach more people. I've been working as a writing coach as well. So I work one-on-one with people who want to write their books themselves, but they want, you know, they want to meet with me weekly. They want me to read every word that they write and really go over and guide them through the process. But some people just wanted something a little bit more, you know, just hands-on for themselves. They wanted the guidance, but they don't necessarily want to for me to be there every millimeter of the, you know, step of the way. And so I created the online program. I distilled all the information, all my years as a professor, into this course. You can find it by going to my website, authormona.com. And I have a link to the program right there. You can also find me on LinkedIn, which is really, I do a lot of, you know, I do videos and webinars. I do lots of content there on LinkedIn. Sometimes people don't remember how to spell my name. That's why Author Mona is pretty easy. I said, you know, initially it was monadevestel.com. And I said, oh, but they're not going to remember how to spell that. So yeah, you can find any and all of my information from my course, my writing coach practice, ghostwriting on my website.
That's so great. Thank you. And thanks so much for sharing this information with the listeners. I'm hoping that they, if they have thought about writing a book, that this reengages that energy. And if they haven't, that now they are considering doing it, because I totally agree with you. I think it's a great way to enhance your connectivity with people and mm-hmm. create, you know, different streams of income and opportunities. So
yeah, definitely.
Terrific. Yeah, it's really great. And I'd also like to thank the listeners and our sponsor. If you would like to get a trial of audible.com as well as a free audiobook, please go to audibletrial.com/businessgrowth to sign up. As always, continue to prosper and be curious. And until we meet again on another episode of Accelerate Your Business Growth, goodbye and good day.
Every family vacation, my kids break into the can-can. Can we go to the theme park? Can we go to a ball game? Can we get snacks? It can get expensive. But at Red Roof, we get a great price on clean, comfortable rooms and wake up rested and ready to hit the road again. This summer, when we rest and repeat at Red Roof, staying two separate times can earn us a free night. Plus, Ready Reward members can save up to 20% with exclusive rates. Book at redroof.com.
Me, but also you. The Pharaoh fast forwards his favorite foreign film, Powder Donut. Okay, what's my line?
The only line I see here on the script is get options based on your budget with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive.
Oh man, that's a tongue twister, huh? I'm sorry, I'm gonna need a few more minutes. Bulbous Walrus, the Bulbous Walrus.
The Name Your Price tool, only from Progressive.
The owl ran afoul of the comatose coxswain.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
The Jim Stroud Podcast explores the discoveries and trends forming the future of our lives. Brain-to-brain communication, robot bosses, microchip implants for workers, and artificial intelligence replacing human workers are all happening now. If you want to know what's happening next, subscribe now to the Jim Stroud Podcast.